Success Programs Board, Adeo Charter School Board, and Altus School staff. Today, we are going to be working to share information in a special board workshop. It is a series of workshops that we're coordinating in order to keep our board members advised of some of the more technical and detailed aspects of our work. So we're very grateful. We have scheduled 1 hour for this presentation. It has been posted, and we'd like to begin with a call to order. I'd like to do a roll call for Student Success Programs. Eric?
Present.
Scott, here.
Present.
Jane Goronski. Jane's here. Hello, Jane. Okay, Jane must be on mute, but I see her. And David Crean.
Good morning, present.
Good morning, David. And for Adeo, we've got Greg Haggard.
Here.
And Laura Guerrero. There you are, Laura.
Laura's here.
Okay, excellent. So let's begin. I think we have quorums, which aren't necessary for the workshop, but we have them anyway. Let's have begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Could you please stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the republic, one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could I have a motion from the Student Success Programs to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second, David Crean.
Okay, that was a first by Scott Barton, a second by David Crean. And so we take a vote. Eric?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Thank you. For the Adeo Charter School, could I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Greg Haggard and seconded by?
Laura Barrera.
Laura, okay, and we'll take the vote. Greg Haggard, your vote, please.
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Thank you. The agenda's been approved. Public comment. If you would like to participate in public comment, please complete a speaker card and submit it to staff. Public comment for items of interest to the public and within the scope of the Adeo Charter School and the Charter School of San Diego shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur regarding items that are not on the agenda at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to briefly respond, give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each non-agenda item will have a maximum 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, the board chair or president may equivalently decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted maximum. Hearing no public comment, like to proceed to item 3.0, which is the board workshop. And I'd like to turn it over to Tim, who will be hosting this. And Tim, you'll be concluding the workshop. Let us know when it's over, and you won't be hearing from me again unless I'm commenting. Everyone, please, is free at any point. Stop us, ask questions. We love being interactive. That's how this presentation is designed. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mary. Good morning.
Tim, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I might ask that if you're not speaking, everybody go on mute because we have so many people and so much background. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Good reminder. Thank you, everyone. Good morning. Tim Tudor, Executive Director. We'll have two presentations this morning. 25-minute presentation from our instructional team, Haley Beaupre, who oversees the Grossmont Secondary School and Sweetwater Secondary School as Administrator of Instructional Services, and Jay Garrity, who oversees the Charter School of San Diego as the Administrator of Instructional Services. They are responsible for the development and implementation of our instructional plan, and they would like to give you some updates to the plan specific for the 2021 school year. We will have about 5 minutes after to with any follow-up questions by any members of the board. And then after that, we will have a 25-minute presentation by Catherine Rambo, the professional development and curriculum coordinator, 25-minute presentation with a 5-minute question and answer opportunity. If you do want to interrupt at any point in time during the presentation, we're happy to answer questions as well. There is the hand button at the top of your school bar. You can click on it and it'll have a little yellow hand that will pop up, and our presenters would be able to stop and answer your question, and then just push on the hand button to take it off once your question's been answered. Or you can wait till the end of the presentation and have opportunity for questions and dialogue then as well. Haley and Jay will be sharing a PowerPoint presentation, so you won't be able to see as many of the folks on your screen when it pops up. And then for the question and answer portion at the end, we'll take it down, and the same thing will happen with Catherine. Okay, we will go ahead and get started. Jay and Haley, I'll turn it over to you.
Hi, everyone. Let me go ahead and get situated here. I need to share my screen. Looks like we're all good here. Tim, can you just unmute for a second and let me know if everything looks good on your end?
Yes, it looks great. And just a little bit more information. This presentation could be as long as 3 hours, but we are condensing it to 25 minutes. So there's going to be even more to share in a regular presentation of this type, but for purposes of this workshop for your time, it will be a shorter version. Go ahead, Jay. It looks great.
Great. Thanks, Tim. Pleasure being with you today. As we mentioned before, I'll be co-presenting along with Haley Beaupre, and we'll be talking about our instructional plan for the 2021 school year. So we'll just go ahead and jump into it. As Tim and Mary mentioned, let us know if you have questions throughout the presentation today. We will do our very best to keep it at 25 to 30 minutes. There are just so many things that we would like to share with you, but we will do our best to make it a succinct presentation. Some of the main elements that Haley and I will talk to you today about are the how we developed the instructional plan for the 2021 school year. We will also focus on our PPEP planning stages throughout the year. And then we'll be very specific in terms of what we're going to be doing to support student achievement in English and math, and then also focus on some social emotional learning, and then talk to you guys about the character and leadership development program. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. This first slide that you see right now is really an overview of how we've developed the instructional plan for the 2021 school year. And so there's a graphic on the right that really identifies the key pillars that went into the development of the instructional plan. And so I'll take some time to walk you through each one of those key pillars. So number one, the instructional plan development is a collaborative process. It's not just Tim, Haley, and myself working together on the development of this. It's working across the different departments that we have within our school: counseling, professional development, curriculum, instructional data, assessment, and other departments as well, to make sure that we have a very well-rounded instructional plan that's going to meet the needs of our unique students at Alta Schools. The other pillar is at Alta Schools, our key process is the Pathways Personalized Educational Plan. So we need to make sure that our instructional plan is aligned with that. And so all students that enroll in our program, they have a unique PPEP. And this PPEP is really created during enrollment. It's created by the student, the parent, the teacher, the counselor, the instructional lead, and it's immediately implemented and monitored throughout the student's enrollment. We make adjustments based upon the student needs. And this really is going to drive what we do day to day, week to week with each student in terms of the courses that we're going to assign them, how often they're going to come into the resource center to get one-on-one instruction, to get small group learning, and also what we're going to do in terms of preparing them for their college and career choice. So that PPEP is very important. The next key pillar is the learning continuity and attendance plan. And so this was a new requirement for all district schools and charter schools for the 2021 school year. So previously we were the LCAP, the Local Control Accountability Plan. But for this school year, due to the COVID-19 emergency, the LCAP has been suspended. So we're required to put together this learning continuity and attendance plan, which I believe many of you are familiar with. And this is really articulating what the school will do to support students during distance learning to start the year, and also what preparations we are making as a school to go back to in-person instructional offerings. The next key pillar is the is really the accountability system, is the California School Dashboard Indicators. And all schools have this public-facing school dashboard. And what this does is it identifies how the school is performing for specific indicators, academic achievement indicators and academic engagement indicators. So it's specifically looking at graduation rate for our grade 12 students. It's looking at chronic absenteeism for our middle school students. It's looking at performance of students on end of the year assessments in English and math. Also looking at how our English learners are progressing in English proficiency, how our graduating seniors are college and career ready, and then also some school climate indicators such as suspension rate. So in our instructional plan, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to really support our students in having positive outcomes in those dashboard indicators. And then lastly, the instructional plan needs to incorporate the data integrated system we have. So throughout the year, we need to have systems in place so that we can check on our progress, see how we're doing in terms of those indicators. And some of our more prominent systems that we use within this data integrated system is our monthly storybook that identifies student participation, credit completion. We also have Naviance to see how students are doing in terms of college and career planning. We use a program called Illuminate, which is our instructional data warehouse. And so, we're able to use those aspects to really keep an eye on student progress and how we're doing in terms of end of the year school outcomes. So those are some of our key pillars that really go into the development of the instructional plan.
Hi, this is Haley Beaupre, and I'm gonna go over the phases of our PPEP process. So as Jay mentioned, each student has a personalized plan, also known as a PPEP. And throughout each school year, there are three opportunities where the school lead meets individually with each teacher and reviews every single student's PPEP or personalized plan. During these meetings, they last about 2 hours. We're looking at a variety of data points and indicators, but the California School Dashboard is really the main guide throughout this process, since that accountability system is what we're being held to as a school. So there's one phase in July, a phase in October, and a phase in January. And while the main principles and the main guidelines look the same, there's a slightly different focus within each of these phases. So for example, in the month of July, when we meet with each teacher and we're looking at each student's plan, this is also an opportunity to update grade level. So during this part of PPEP, we're looking at what did the student accomplish over the past school year. We're looking at the credits earned, and we're making that update for the new school year. In October, when we meet again with the teachers and go over each student's plan, we'll have NWEA pre-assessment data. So this information is gonna help guide the course planning. Are we making sure to provide supports where necessary? Are we also providing acceleration and challenge where a student might be ready for that? And so October is really focused on that specific data along with the other dashboard indicators. And then in January, when we meet, we've now wrapped up our fall semester. Again, we're looking at each of the indicators such as grad rate, chronic absenteeism. At this point, we have interim SVA data, so we're evaluating that and making sure the students are participating in tutoring sessions that will support their outcomes on the state assessments. We're evaluating the English learner progress indicator, so we're looking at each of our English learners. Are they engaged in integrated and designated supports? And then college and career planning. So January is a really good time because we're getting into spring semester to very closely review our graduating students' readiness for their post-high school plan. So this is an ongoing process throughout the whole school year. While these three phases are the opportunities for the school lead to facilitate some guidelines, recommendations, and strategies, teachers are also on a daily basis evaluating the same outcomes and the same information to make adjustments as needed. But this is the more formalized process that involves the school administrator.
Okay, thank you, Haley. So at Altus Schools, we have a systematic approach to improving student achievement in math and English. So now we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the details of what that looks like for math and English. So what are we trying to accomplish? What are our program goals? So for each school, we're focused on improving the overall SBA results as measured by the California School Dashboard. So at the end of each school year, students in grades 6, 7, and 8, those are our middle school students, and then one grade level for high school, 11th grade, take the end of the year Smarter Balance assessment for English and math. So as a school, what we're trying to do is we're trying to improve our results from the prior year. It's all about improvement from the prior year. And so we are focused on all students, all of those students who take the end of the year assessment, the Smarter Balance. But the dashboard also drills it down to specific student groups. And so what we need to do is we need to support all students, but we're going to need to differentiate instruction and curriculum to really support those unique student groups. Some important student groups are English learners, students with disabilities, also low income or socioeconomically disadvantaged, and there's some other groups as well, such as homeless, foster youth, pregnant and parenting. So what specific actions as a school are we going to carry out this school year to make sure we show improvement from the prior year? Well, it's a systematic approach. So it really starts with instruction, utilizing research-based instructional strategies that really engage students and then support student achievement. And then it's also using a curriculum that's rigorous, that's aligned to the state standards, and that's also culturally proficient and really speaks to the student's background. And then, of course, the professional learning. We need to identify what are the needs of our teaching staff and make sure that they're able to really implement those research-based instructional strategies, and so we're able to support them, and so that they'll be able to differentiate based upon student groups and then use the curriculum and resources available to really support student achievement in our program. So it's a systematic approach. Specifically for math, so I'll talk math now, provide you the summary, and then Haley in a minute will cover English. Our math plan summary for this school year, 2021, there's a continued area of focus on claim one, which is concepts and procedures. And concepts and procedures is really students working through math problems, just that step-by-step problem solving. And the majority of the end of the year assessment that students take for math, claim one is super heavy. It's the majority of the test. It's students working through problems. And then claim three is the communicating reasoning. This is when students need to explain exactly how they're going to approach a problem, what information they need to solve, what information do they not have. So it's really communicating the reasoning. So we're really focused on those two claims this year. We're very fortunate at Alta Schools to have a math specialist. And starting last school year, she was able to go in and review the mathematics summative assessment blueprint for all grade levels. So this is the end of the year assessment that students take in math. And so she thoroughly reviewed it, looking at the specific claims that really show up more often on that test, analyzing the content category, and then which targets and standards show up prominently in that end of the year assessment. The next step that she did last year was aligning all of our math courses to that SBA math blueprint. So we wanted to make sure that the standards and targets that show up more often on that end of the year assessment, students are getting a lot of practice throughout the school year in their grade level math courses in the fall and spring. So that was a very important step that we took last year. Last year, we also implemented Illuminate learning checks into all of our math curriculum and courses. And so there was a lot of time spent training teachers on how to administer these Illuminate learning checks, evaluate student work once they complete the learning check, and then analyzing performance. And these Illuminate learning checks are very powerful formative assessment tools because it gives us timely information. So teachers will quickly know if students are mastering standards and targets, and if they're not, they're able to dial up remediation to support student development in that area. These learning checks are also important because it exposes students to specific math problems that they will encounter on the end of the year assessment. So that's important. Last year, the math specialist also developed and implemented middle and high school math course pacing guides for teachers. And so these were extremely helpful in providing aid to teachers in their weekly SBA tutoring sessions. So teachers are meeting weekly with a group of students once or twice a week, and they're prioritizing certain key Smarter Balance assessment topics and targets and making sure that students are getting a combination of direct instruction, guided practice, and then individual practice in these tutoring sessions. And starting in the spring of last year, we were able to transition to distance learning. And then for the start of this school year, these SBA tutoring sessions are all done through distance learning, similar format as we are doing right now on Microsoft Teams. New for this school year, our math specialist has created an SBA math teacher resource guide, and it's specific for distance learning as well. And this will be a great addition to those math course pacing guides because this goes even deeper. It gives teachers at their fingertips a clear explanation of certain math targets and the standards that are connected to those targets, and then specific vocabulary that students would need to understand in order to master those standards and targets. And then also practice questions for students, and then a blueprint in terms of how teachers can differentiate based upon student levels in mathematics. Are they below standard? Are they near standard? Are they above standard? And then there's also embedded hyperlinks where if a student is struggling with the standard or target, the teacher can easily click on one of those hyperlinks and it's gonna dial up Khan Academy tutorial or one of our textbook websites where it will be able to be used as a resource for the student to get some additional instruction in that area. So that's going to be a nice development for us this year. And then throughout the school year, teachers have access to Altus University sessions, and the second half of the workshop today, Catherine will be talking to you about Altus University. But specifically for math, our Altus University sessions are designed so that teachers get an explanation and a chance to really focus on what the math targets and standards look like. Then they have time and they have support to work through mathematical concepts and procedures. So that's really learning the material. And then they have the time and space to look at how students in our program are performing, and then how students are performing at their specific resource center, and then down to the roster level as well. So those Altus University sessions, those are sessions that are really designed for a group of teachers to attend. And then we have personalized professional learning for teachers. And that's really the Math AU on the road. And that's when our math specialist is providing personalized teacher support. And she can really talk to the teacher about differentiating instruction and curriculum to meet their student groups that they're serving. The last slide here for our math plan summary is just some additional steps that we're taking this year and last year. Last year, we really prioritized having opportunities for teachers and instructional staff to do what we call data dives. And there were several times that we did this throughout the year at our annual August symposium. We have instructional meetings quarterly where we did data dives. Resource center meetings are typically done weekly. And then each teacher is assigned to an APAC department. So there were lots of data dives looking at how students are performing. And what we were looking at specific measures was how students have performed on past SBA math, how students are performing on those formative assessments, the Illuminate Learning Checks, and then how students are performing on their end of course exams specifically for math. So all courses in our program, including math, have end of course exams. As Haley went through the PPEP instructional planning earlier, that will continue for the year. And that's just a great opportunity for us to plan with teachers, monitor student performance, and then recommend adjustments. And then in November of this year, we do plan to administer the Smarter Balance interim assessment to students. And this is really a practice test for students. This is not tied to the accountability. This is just an opportunity for students to get exposure to the testing interface. And most importantly, an opportunity for us to gather information. And what instructional staff does is we follow this check, reflect, and connect strategy for the Smarter Balance interim assessment. So we're checking for student understanding, and then we're reflecting on why students are above standard or below standard. And then we have an opportunity for them to connect with their instructional leaders or subject matter experts or colleagues in terms of how they're going to support student development in math moving forward.
I'm now going to take you through the English plan summary. What you'll notice as I go over this plan is the adjustments that have been made to it follow the same systematic approach that Jay had mentioned, with the collaboration between curriculum, instruction, and professional learning. And so that's how these slides have been organized. The continued areas of focus for our English plan are claims 1 and 2 from the SBA blueprint. Those are the areas of reading and writing. When you analyze the SBA blueprint, the vast majority of questions do come from these two claims. These are also the areas where our students require the most support. Within claim 1 of reading, students are required to comprehend increasingly complex literary and informational texts. And what we've noticed through our analysis of the blueprint is that the informational texts are weighted even heavier. There's more questions regarding those that type of reading. And so you'll notice that we've really increased supports in that area throughout the plan. And then claim 2 with writing, students being able to produce effective writing for a range of purposes and audiences. And we've also brought on board some research-based strategies to support in that area. So within curriculum, very similar to math, we did a review, which Catherine will go into more in depth in her presentation, but we ensured that our coursework for English language arts is also aligned to the SBA blueprint. We incorporated the resource that we use, Achieve 3000, to increase that nonfiction reading support, as I mentioned with claim 1, just to ensure that our students are very well versed in being able to interpret that type of text as well. Within the English courses, we've also integrated the formative assessments through Illuminate with the Illuminate Learning Checks. These are also based on SBA item bank questions that are both claim and standard driven. And so again, these are opportunities throughout the course for teachers to adjust the coursework and the learning strategies so that students are proficient in those areas. And then lastly, under curriculum, we've also updated writing prompts within the curriculum to align with Write Institute strategies. Write Institute, Write stands for Writing Redesigned for Innovative Teaching and Equity. It is a research-based professional learning and curriculum program through San Diego County Office of Ed. And we actually have a cohort of teachers who are going through that institute for 10 weeks currently. This is our second cohort. And so a lot of the strategies are specific to the needs of English learners. And we've been able to embed those within our curriculum as well as within our instructional practices. So within the English plan, the instructional focus is highly driven by our ELA tutoring sessions that are conducted within each resource center. So at the beginning of the year, really these past two summer months, we've been working closely with every resource center on their instructional plan for the school year. And part of that plan is holding small group tutoring sessions in areas of need, such as math, literacy. Our Pathways portfolio is another area where a lot of sessions do take place. And so this plan is really driven by the data of that specific resource center. So it will vary from site to site based on the demographics and the needs of that particular groups of students. The need for literacy circles, we may have some resource centers who have a need for one literacy circle per week, while others might need two to three, depending on the demographics. Teachers continue, of course, to provide individualized support for students. Our main bread and butter, working one-on-one with students on their course that they're in. And of course, adjusting and supporting as needed. And then just like the PPET process that was mentioned earlier, that ongoing planning and adjusting based on assessment data. And that's both the student's personalized plan as well as the resource center plan. And then in terms of alignment with professional learning for our English plan, like I mentioned, we've continued this partnership with the Wright Institute, which has been a huge part of the EL English plan this year and last year. Catherine's gonna talk about our dashboard-driven professional learning cohorts. I don't wanna steal her thunder too much there, but it's a very strategic, systematic approach to professional learning for staff. And then we've aligned the science and social science AU sessions to these SBA ELA claims. So we're really working across curriculum to ensure teachers are trained and students are accessing these claims and targets in all their courses. And then our ELAD, which is the English Learner Achievement Department, continues to provide support to staff on how they can best serve the needs of their English learners. Which takes me to our ELD program, our English Language Development Program summary. So we have a very comprehensive English learner plan, which is aligned to California Department of Ed's EL roadmap. This plan actually, every year when our state board consultant comes to visit, he's really impressed with what we've been able to incorporate within our particular setting. So all of our English learners, they have access to both integrated and designated ELD, and this continues throughout distance learning and virtual tutoring as well. So within integrated ELD, this is how we integrate ELD within the core curriculum for each student. So this is aligning these core courses to ELD standards. Again, that integration of Achieve 3000 that I mentioned, that can be integrated within a student's core English, history, science course to improve their Lexile level. The MyPath integration and alignment. MyPath is an Edgenuity course that helps support different areas of need based on NWEA. And then, of course, we continue to embed instructional strategies such as SDI strategies within our English coursework. And then designated ELD is outside of that core curriculum. So these are our designated Altus literacy courses. We also have online coursework through Edgenuity, the Edgenuity Comp and Lit courses, and then those small group literacy circles that are part of the Resource Center instructional plans is also considered part of designated ELD. And then, like I mentioned, the ELAD continues to provide that support to teachers through Altus University throughout the school year to make sure that we're meeting the needs of this important student group. What I'm going to go over next is our student intervention program overview. So this is our multi-tiered system of support. This particular program is an extremely collaborative process. We have three tiers where we can identify students based on academic, behavioral, or social emotional need. So it's really a whole child approach that we're taking to ensure that we're removing barriers for students, supporting them in whatever areas are needed so that they can be academically successful. Within tier one, that would be considered our universal supports. These are supports that we provide to every single student who enrolls. This is the one-on-one individual tutoring, the personalization of every course to increase access and really working closely with their teacher. If we learn over 4 weeks that a student requires more than that, then they would move into a tier two, which is considered designated supports. This is where we may have a student participate in one of those small group tutoring sessions. At this level, we would involve the school counselor. There would typically be a meeting between the counselor, the family, and the teacher to really kind of discuss, you know, what's getting in the way. What do we need to adjust? What do we need to provide so that the student can make adequate progress? We're also looking, there may be a need for technology through Altus Connect or a referral to our food program through Grab and Go, or maybe a nurse referral for some physical needs. And then at tier three, which is our most intensive tier, this is where the school administrator becomes involved, and we're again meeting with the family and the student to really evaluate how we can support them. And the goal of each of these tiers is re-engagement. We're always just trying to figure out what can we do to re-engage each and every student. So within tier three, we might be looking at working with a community partner for wraparound services, maybe individual counseling. So we're really looking at some additional outside support to help re-engage that student. And then one piece that's really important with this system is, since we've been virtual, we have had a series of need assessment surveys go out to families and students. And so this has provided us with the data that we need, since we're not seeing students in person on a weekly basis as we have been before. So we have a really clear sense of what each student is needing while they're learning from home, and we're able to remove those barriers as quickly as possible. And so we've had that ongoing, and that really helped us to figure out how we needed to intervene and support students during COVID-19.
Okay, I know we're getting a little short on time. We're almost done here. Haley was talking about our multi-tiered system of support, and teachers and counselors and instructional leaders, we will identify specific students who need some social emotional learning support. And so this has really been something we've been able to enhance in our program over the past couple of years. And starting last year, we were able to provide a resilience in student education, a RISE series, throughout the school year. And this is really important to social emotional learning because it's aligned to the social emotional core competencies. And these are scheduled throughout the year. And we always have keynote speakers, speakers who are really expertise in this area. In the past, we've had specific instructional staff members present. We've had our school nurse, school psychologist, and we have a healthy youth program department who have teachers who have background in supporting students with trauma. So those have been some of our keynote speakers at the RISE sessions. And each RISE session is really focused on enhancing a student's capacity integrate skills, attitudes, and behaviors when dealing with daily tasks and challenges. So what some of these topics look like are resiliency, managing stress and anxiety, trauma, health and wellness, and healthy relationships. So as you can imagine, these are very important topics, considering we've been in, you know, a state of, you know, a pandemic emergency where students and families have experienced traumatic experiences to various degrees. So this has been extremely helpful supporting students during this challenging time. We always encourage students to participate in these sessions live. And again, it's offered through distance learning through Microsoft Teams. But if a student is unable to participate for whatever reason, we do record them, and they're made available on demand for students. And our Healthy Youth Department, they make lessons that go along with each one of these sessions. There's pre-activities, there's activities that students complete during the workshop, and then there's post-activities as well to make sure that the student will reflect on what they've learned. So the RISE series has been very helpful in terms of social emotional learning last year, and will continue to go in this direction this year. And then because social emotional learning is such a specialized area, we really need to support teachers in this area. So all teachers at Altus Schools, they complete the Youth Mental Health First Aid Certification. We have a partnership with the San Diego County Office of Ed, which provides this training. And this really empowers teachers to identify and respond to students in mental health crisis. So it supports the development of teachers identifying the signs and symptoms of students who might be experiencing mental health challenges, and how to appropriately respond and bring in additional school staff or work with the community to support students in this area. We also incorporate trauma-informed practices for schools, also known as TIPS, into Altus University. And these are specific instructional engagement strategies which are focused on empathy, active listening, and providing safety and connectedness. So these TIPS instructional strategies are utilized by our teachers in their day-to-day work with students, whether it's through emails or through tutoring sessions or whatever communication method. They're really focused on these TIPS strategies. And then we have the Signs of Suicide SOS program, which is really led up by our Healthy Youth Department. And this provides staff with research-based tools to prevent, intervene, and follow up with students who might be at risk. So these are some of the specialized teacher training opportunities we provide. And then last slide in our deck, we wanted to end with our California Cadet Corps. Such a positive story. This is really our leadership and development program that's offered to all students. We have a Cadet Corps teacher who's Dan Lavelle, and he works with character and leadership development coaches who are at specific resource centers, and they facilitate weekly tutoring sessions with students. So students who want to participate in this character and leadership development program, in the past, we obviously did in person, but in March, we were able to successfully transition to a virtual cadet corps. And Dan keeps in close contact with the state, because this is a state program. Dan tells us that we are probably on the cutting edge, one of the only programs that have been able to successfully transition to virtual cadet. So that really speaks to our well-positioned program being able to just really go to this virtual cadet in the spring and now into the 2021 school year. All of these weekly tutoring sessions are really focused on learning and having fun. Navigation is one of the topics, community emergency response training cert, providing cadets with first aid CPR training, wilderness survival skills, and then specific CTE projects. Every 2 years, we have an annual general inspection. The last AGI was February of 2019, and that's when the state comes down and they evaluate all aspects of the Cadet Corps program. And at our last AGI, we were recognized as a superior unit. That's the highest award that you can get. So we will have AGI this year. So we're taking, we're working on making sure that we are going to have a superior rating again. And then I just wanted to end with, during the summer, the Cadet Corps, they did have, at the state, they had individual competitions and contests. They did it virtually. And our Cadet Corps, we had some really good awards, but the highest award that I wanted to share with you all today was we had a middle school IDEO student who won the top middle school cadet award in California. So we have a middle school student who plans to be with us for many years, and he's going to be a part of our leadership team at the Cadet Corps. So the future is very bright for Cadet Corps. That is our presentation. We had lots of information. Are there any questions at this time?
Thank you, Jay and Haley. We really appreciate you summarizing our instructional plan. This year, as you can tell, our focus is the math, the English supports, the multi-tiered student system of support for the intervention so that kids that may be struggling get what they need to be successful. Social-emotional learning is a big component to help support their academic experiences in the Cadet Corps, which is a real unique feature of our program that sets us apart from other independent study schools here in Southern California, something we offer. So thank you for taking the slide deck down. Are there any questions that the board has, any clarifications or just general comments before we move on to Catherine?
Other than to say great job, no, I really appreciate the extra focus on the math. And as always, I love the feedback loop, how it's just you're constantly improving and measuring results and tweaking as you go. That's the most important element as far as I'm concerned. Well done. Very impressive.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, you know, as a newer member, you can see there's just a massive amount of work that goes to keeping everything that you're doing for these students up and running, and to apparently not even miss a beat with everything that happened with the shutdown over the summer. And, you know, just really impressed with how you guys keep it going. I'm familiar with what you guys do because I've known Mary for a while, but that you guys have just kept such a good high performing organization going. Switching to remote is very impressive, and a good job. I did have one question is with the remote learning now, are we having any challenges with students and their internet connections?
Go ahead, Jay.
We have an Altus Connect program, so we work very closely with students and parents. And we really, in March, once we transitioned to distance learning, we really identified any students or parents, households really, who had lack of access to Chromebooks or desktop computers and then home internet. And so starting in March, we made a huge push to make sure that those students, those households who needed a Chromebook or needed an internet hotspot, they would have access to that, because it's very important that they have, you know, access and equity to the full curriculum. And as we enroll new students, our enrollment is up for the school year. Our enrollment clerks, they are able to ask those specific questions for new students who are coming in. And if it's a new student who needs a Chromebook or a hotspot, we're able to deploy those devices immediately so that the student can be up and running in their curriculum.
Can I comment on that just briefly as well? We did make a huge push in March, but that is something that's really been embedded in our program all along. We do serve students who frequently have connectivity issues, and that was something that has been in our strategic planning process for several years. So I think we were in a really good spot to be able to not only procure those devices and hotspots with connectivity, but to deploy it. Because that's something that we've really been cognizant of for many years.
We are going to need to move forward with Catherine's presentation concerning the time, and we're getting closer to when we need to end. So Catherine, if you could go ahead and get started and then shorten it just a little bit more than you had, just for the sake of time. Sorry, but we do need to keep moving here.
Absolutely. So I'm trying to get this loaded and I'm getting a spinning circle. There we go. It's up for me. So thank you, Jay and Haley. A lot of the work that we do, you're going to hear a lot of the same things because, as they say, we do have a collaborative systems approach to what we're doing. So I'm going to start with some highlights of our curriculum. All seven schools have approved NCAA, UC A through G, and College Board lists. And this is really important because it speaks to the level of rigor that our curriculum has. Because each of these entities goes through a different verification process of our curriculum. And so all of our science, English, math, and social studies courses, as well as our world language courses, are NCAA approved. All of our core courses and world language courses are also UC A through G approved. And 100% of our advanced placement courses are UC, NCAA, and College Board approved. Looking at what we're developing for this year, math, the focus has really been on that teacher resource guide that Haley and Jay spoke about, where the teachers get that drill down information for the targets and the claims for the Smarter Balanced Assessment that's aligned to the blueprint. Our English department just released an American Lit class, and they're working on English 7th and 8th grade. Science is working on Earth and Space Science. Social studies is working on US history and big history. And big history, if you know, is a kind of a pet project for Bill Gates, where we're incorporating new science and technology along with social studies. So it's kind of the big history of us. World language just got new frameworks in July. So all of our first year courses are getting revised, followed by the next set of courses. And then we have a lot of electives on the list, middle school health, our CTE, green energy and information communication technology capstone courses are being developed this year. Altus Success, our visual and performing arts also got new frameworks in July. So we're revising those courses, psychology, and this course in our ethnic studies courses, Africa and African American studies. To touch on career technical education, our program is the intersection of high priority labor needs of region of the San Diego metro area and student career interests in Naviance. So right now we have seven different career pathways, 28 CTE courses, and the majority of those courses are UC A through G approved, so they are college prep courses. We offer certification as well as articulation, and we'll go into that a little bit more in the next slide. But the certification that we offer is national certification. So our students finish our career pathways with some sort of certification to get that entry level job. We also have courses that are courses that actually receive college credit. So the students take the course with us, it's our curriculum, but the college has vetted that course and says that it articulates to a college level course. And that was the result of a fellows project by Allison this past year.
Catherine?
Looking at the,
I'm gonna go, we're just gonna have to leave this as a tease to finish this at the next workshop next month for the sake of time. So thank you so much for your patience, but I know we have a lot that we would like to share with curriculum and professional development for the board, but it is 9:30 and we wanna respect their time, and we'll pick this back up at next month's session. So we'll introduce it here, and then we'll go into the meat of this at the next session. So thank you, Catherine, for letting us interrupt you and being so prepared. And Jay and Haley, your presentation was just so excellent that, you know, we didn't want to limit it in time because the instructional plan is what we do. So I'll turn it back over to Mary to adjourn the meeting and any final comments.
Exactly. Excellent presentations. And I apologize to Catherine. I know we ate up some time at the beginning with our board business, but it came to our attention after you had done your planning that we had to do that in order to stay compliant. So at least we wanted to be on the safe side, let's put it that way. So we will resume. We hope you can all join us. And we're very open to any suggestions. We know it's a tremendous amount of material that we're presenting to you. It would be very easy to get into lots of discussions associated with lots of points and we don't want to discourage that, but perhaps as we move forward, we can, and you develop this foundational information, we'll be able to go back and into some of the questions or thoughts or suggestions that you might have. Thank you very much to everybody. We appreciate you so much for being interested in kids. This is not a bureaucratic exercise. It's all about. Hold a good thought for us. Who is that speaking?
Mary, we need the motion to adjourn in a second.
Okay. Do I need one from each school, or can one school do it for all?
One should do it for each school.
Okay, more bureaucracy. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the Student Success Program school?
Well, so moved. David Green.
David Green makes the motion. I didn't hear who that was. Scott?
Yes.
Okay, Scott seconds it. Call for the vote. David, your vote, please.
Aye.
Eric? Aye. Jane?
Aye.
Did I get Scott?
Scott, aye.
Okay, I think I got all board members there. Okay, Student Success Programs, meeting adjourned. Adeo Charter School, do I hear a motion to adjourn the Adeo meeting?
So moved.
That was Greg Haggard first, Greg. Second.
Laura Barrero second.
Calling for the vote, Greg?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Okay, so it's been passed. Adeo is adjourned as well. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.